The title of my message today is Good, Better, Best. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, you are the best. We give you thanks for each time you have whispered in our ears words of hope. Each time you have lifted us up. There has always been a lifeboat, even if we haven't recognized it as that. Each time you have filled us with good things to share with others. Forgive us for each time that we think we are the best. That it's time to take a break from being good. When you have great plans for us to be better, more loving and giving as we stand side by side with one another in the palm of your hand. Amen. We didn't read the scripture about Job today, but Job was a righteous man, and I want to talk about him for just a few minutes. Suddenly, without warning, in the middle of the business of his everyday life, his livestock were taken away, and his servants were put to death. And then his family was lost in a freak accident when a mighty wind came in and swept desert air, slamming into his house, and the four corners of the house collapsed. All was lost. It was swift. There was no warning. We ask, why did such a thing happen? How would Job ever recover? Well, when someone loses their home and one of their children, it is hard to imagine what they are experiencing. How will they recover? How will they get through this? What have we done in our own personal times of tragedy? Well, I know what I've done. I've cried a lot. I've said, why? I've spent some time mourning. If we look around, we actually find ourselves doing quite a bit of mourning, don't we? For every family lost, for every family torn apart. We weep for those in the wakes of storms and fires and flood, and for those along the Mexican border, and those detained around the world. We mourn what is happening in our government and in the world. We mourn the great loss when a loved one passes away. Mourning is a part of a powerful process. It secures our strength and reveals our very souls. It changes us. It eventually enables us to reach out in compassion to those around us who are hurting. And with mourning comes praying. And reaching out for help and graciously receiving assistance. Today's gospel is not about a great loss, but it's a lesson in reaction to a need. Jesus lended a helping hand as he performed his first miracle. Scripture calls it a sign. It's the first one recorded. There might have been others that we have never read about. It is in love that Jesus reached out to the people at the wedding feast when the wine ran out. You know, Jesus lived in a time in history in which God seems to have abandoned Israel, at least to the people. The disciples, along with the whole nation, were losing hope. There's a similarity here with Job, in Ogama, in the national news, in our own lives. Some have lost hope. When the wine jugs were filled, not only the water was changed into wine, but the disciples were changed. It affected the people around. It affected each wedding guest. When we are the emptiest, the glory of God is revealed to us. with every loss, with every moment of grief, every tear. God is right alongside us, mourning and encouraging us, and sending help our way. God's glory is revealed in the hands of the EMTs and the doctors and nurses. God is with us when we call out in pain and when we scream in anger. When those around us call on us for help, and when we answer that call, God is right there. We are being filled and changed this very moment. I think it's interesting that Jesus turned to his mother and said, "Is that any of our business? What does this have to do with me?" Probably common words you might speak to your mother if she said, "Go do that." There were those who believed in Jesus and followed him. There were those who thought his words were blasphemy. There will always be believers and skeptics. Do you think that a few people at the wedding also believed in him that day? Would you be one of the believers, or would you say, there was just wine in those jugs anyway? Impossible. There are homeless people in Medford. What does that have to do with us? There are people who have lost their home in a fire. What does that have to do with us? There are those grieving. What does that have to do with us? There are people who don't have enough food. There are members and friends of our church who are lonely in assisted living in the nursing home. There are those who need rides to the doctor to work. There are those who don't know where to turn next. What does that have to do with us? I'll tell you. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all are the body of Christ. We each have a special part in it, the church. And each one's part is as important as the other. As we each minister to one another. Ever noticed the heading in the bulletin? It reads, "Ministers, all the people." It's not a mistake in printing. It's there on purpose. Because here, the whole is defined as all. No matter how small our part may feel, we each have an important part, whether we are newborn or 105. Martin Luther King said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." Several years ago, Methodist Bishop Ernest Fitzgerald told this story. On a cold, dreary December evening, several hundred people gathered at a large downtown church in Winston-Salem to celebrate the Christmas season. There was a small boy who was pushing against the massive oak doors, trying to get outside. The boy appeared to be about 2 years old, and he was crying as if his heart would break. Bishop Ernest picked him up, thinking he belonged to someone at one of the Christmas parties. And after investigating, he found nothing. He still did not know where he came from. So he rushed outside and spotted an old model car speeding away in the darkness. And gradually it began to dawn on him that the child had been abandoned inside the church doors. He made a few calls. And soon the church was filled with people who wanted to help. Within moments, a local TV station interrupted their usual programs to ask if anyone knew the child. And under the picture in the next morning's newspaper was an article describing those events. The reporter began his story with this striking line. "Someone trusted the church last night." and the church came through. Wow. It's a haunting reminder of what the world expects of us. Someone trusted the church, and the church came through. So we will be the church. We will protect the environment and care for the poor. We will forgive often. We will reject racism and fight for the powerless. We will share earthly and spiritual resources. We will embrace diversity. We will love God, and we will love this life. And so it began with the wedding feast and the wine, the public ministry of Jesus, that is. Our public ministry as members of this church began when we were baptized, no matter if it was here or somewhere else. It began when we became members and when we committed to be here and to help regularly and to join in the mission of this community of faith. We do a good job of taking care of our building. We do a better job of welcoming people in, but we are best when we go outside these walls and reach out into the community. We are called by name each day to live as disciples of Jesus. And I'd like to proclaim this year as a year of living outside the box. Actually, outside the walls of this church building. Resolve not to worry about being good or better or the best, but to live up to our name, Community United Church of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have woven us together in this family of faith. Our many voices, our many talents, our many concerns, our many joys. We give you thanks for the privilege of being called together in your name right here and right now. We give thanks for those who have gone before us and whose decisions have shaped this church. Be our constant guide as we carry on traditions, yet dare to make changes. Oh God, in this season of Epiphany, we consider the earthly ministry of Jesus. We pray that you would open our eyes to see him more clearly. Help us understand fully the glories of Jesus' life and his love for us. Open our hearts to understand that you have made all of us Christ's body and that we each are called to represent Jesus to those around us. Oh God, hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters who are shoveling out from the blizzards and rebuilding after fire and storms, those who are putting their lives back together after ravages of war and violence and separation from those that they love. Enfold those who grieve in your loving arms. Hear our prayer for those who serve our country, those who are returning home, and those who are being called to serve. Hear us when we pray for our community, for all the churches. Let peace begin with us, O God. We lift to you those who are ill, those recovering from surgery and undergoing rehabilitation, those who face surgery and testing and cancer treatment. With our every breath, O God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for blessings received. Enable us to love others as you would love them. We lift our prayer to you, O God, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.